Good morning. It's time for In the Green Outdoors with Gail Martin and Carol Kelly. Each week, the ladies will bring you gardening and planting ideas, tell you about native Ohio plants, prairies and habitats, and great tips for everything in the green outdoors. This week with Carol Kelly.
Hello again, everyone. So, how does your garden grow? Even after decades of seeing spring arrive, I never fail to be amazed when suddenly so many plants burst forth this time of year. The landscape in Marion County has changed so much since my last segment just 2 weeks ago. I'm sure everyone is as happy as I am to see the colorful spring flowers that have sprung up and the potted ones that have appeared in the garden centers, nurseries, and even sometimes outside local grocery stores, although not anytime real soon. Remember, while buying your indoor Easter plants, though, don't give in to the temptation to buy any bedding or vegetable plants that may be available unless you're prepared to keep them in their pots and cell packs for many weeks yet. As you plan your garden, for that is all we may do for some time yet, remember that in order to attract beneficial insects, birds, and other such predators of bad insects, interplant flowers, herbs, and vegetables all within the same area. There are no rules that say that vegetable and flowering plants have to be segregated or planted in narrow rows of all the same kind of plant. In fact, offering a smorgasbord of many types of flowers attracts a variety of hunters, including tiny parasitic wasps that may feed on pollen, but some that also attack and kill other insects as food for their larvae. And remember to try to use native flowers and shrubs as much as possible. Birds especially seek out insects to feed to their nestlings and need thousands of caterpillars to raise their young. But while it's too early for most vegetables, a number of hardy weeds that are called winter annuals are making their appearance in gardens, fields, and roadsides. These winter annuals are sneaky weeds. They flower and produce seeds in the early spring, and then the plants fade away before summer, out of sight, out of mind. The seeds are still there in the soil, though, having avoided spring-applied pre-emergent herbicide because they do not even attempt to germinate until fall. We didn't notice the plants appearing and growing slowly through the late fall, winter, and early spring when we don't pay much attention to what's going on in our lawns and landscapes. One of these common and very persistent winter annuals is hairy bittercress. Like many members of the mustard family, it appears early in spring and sets seed prolifically. The first true leaves are heart-shaped, followed by basal leaves with 2 to 4 alternating leaflets. Then it quickly sends up stalks of tiny white flowers, soon followed by slender vertical seed pods known as siliques. Once the seed pods ripen, a human or pet brushing against the pods, or even a good wind, will send the seeds flying as far as 16 feet. However, like other winter annuals, the seeds lie dormant then until fall, germinate in October, and make a small rosette of leaves that will overwinter so that they can get a really quick start before gardeners notice them in late March or early April. The leaves are edible, however, with a pleasant cress-like flavor. I often have added the well-washed leaves to a spring salad or simply picked some to nibble while working in the garden. Other very visible winter annuals are beginning to appear as well. One soon to be there is the purple dead nettle that commonly blooms in fallow fields throughout the county. It's not related to nettle and really does not resemble it, but then there is little explanation for many common plant names. This is a weed of disturbed areas and is a member of the mint family, introduced from Europe and Asia, just as so many other aggressive plants have been, although not accidentally this time, but for its edible and medicinal properties. Purple dead nettle can be added to soups and salads or blended into smoothies, basically any way that you would use any other green leafy vegetable or herb. Another good spring tonic, such as those we talked about last time. And it's medicinal as well, astringent, diuretic, diaphoretic, and purgative. It's also anti-inflammatory, antibacterial, and antifungal. The leaves can be used on external wounds or cuts as a poultice or made into a salve. Dead nettle can grow as high as 16 to 18 inches with light pink to purple flowers, It has a distinct four-sided stem and opposite leaf arrangement, as do other plants in the mint family, but lacks any fragrant minty smell. The leaves are triangular or heart-shaped, with serrated edges, and appear crowded near the upper part of the stem, overlapping and bent downward. The leaves also are purple to red in color, which is what makes countless plants spread over an otherwise empty field very noticeable. Purple dead nettle is mistaken sometimes for henbit by some people, another winter annual that's also in the mint family. Henbit is similar, but the leaves are scalloped and spaced evenly along the stem. And while its tiny flowers also are bright pink, the leaves don't have the purple to red color. This weed also seems to be more of a backyard invader than one of open fields. But while these Lamium family plants may be considered pesky weeds, it's important to know that both these are also utilized as a food source by early spring pollinators. The nectar of purple dead nettle feeds honeybees, bumblebees, and digger bees, a group of larger bees that nest in the ground. The flowers of henbit are a pollen and nectar source for long-tongued bees, such as honeybees and bumblebees. Another low-growing weed common to lawns has the scientific name of Stellaria media, which means star flower, since that's what the tiny white blossoms of chickweed look like. It's a European winter annual that is now found worldwide. Open-minded folks may even appreciate common chickweed with its low-growing, intense evergreen mats that add color to drab winter landscapes. Wildlife appreciates the vitamin-rich food source during the early spring when there is little else to munch on, and chickens, as well as other birds, feast on the seed, thus the common name of chickweed. This plant is another perfectly palatable, mild-tasting food for humans at a time of year when our bodies crave fresh, new greens. Just be sure to gather your wild salad greens where you are certain that they have not been poisoned, and wash them thoroughly in several changes of water to remove the inevitable grit. Another flower that will be seen along roadsides and filling vacant fields next month is a tall, bright yellow Ohio native called crestleaf groundsel, also known as butterweed. The plant's crest-like leaves are responsible for the common name. Some sources list this plant as a beautiful native but aggressive wildflower. So is it a weed or a wildflower? Well, as one of my favorite herbal mystery writers, Susan Wittig Albert, says in her book, An Untimely Death and Other Garden Mysteries, one person's weed is another person's wildflower. And, of course, as I mentioned earlier, many, many of the plants we think of as weeds are herbs brought to the New World by colonists as food, medicine, or for utilitarian purposes. But that could be a whole program for another day. Crestleaf groundsel, butterweed, is a member of the aster family and grows about 18 to 24 inches tall. Its loose clusters of bright yellow daisy-like flowers sit atop erect, hollow stems that are green with reddish-purple streaks. The flowers are followed by seed heads that look like miniature dandelion puffballs. For reasons not clearly understood, this native plant has become unusually common in Ohio in the last decade or so, in cultivated fields, nurseries, and landscapes. Various reports indicate that the weed may have some tolerance to 2,4-D and may require high rates of glyphosate if it's to be controlled. Perhaps the rise of butterweed has occurred through herbicide-induced unnatural selection. That plants may build up a tolerance to herbicides is one more reason, in my opinion, to use physical means of eliminating weeds, not chemical ones, whenever feasible. Mare's tail, also known as horseweed, later in the summer, is another such plant that has developed a resistance to some herbicides. Butterweed in gardens can be pulled very easily from damp soil, but just as with removing any weeds, do it before seeds form. If you do not do it before seeds form, to avoid a new generation, put the flower or seed heads into a trash bag right after pulling, unless you have a very active hot compost pile. If plants are just left on the ground to wilt, the seeds still may ripen, and the battle is lost for another year. In closing, let's look up from the ground and consider our avian friends. Lots of migrating birds are returning north and passing through our area, but many also remain in the vicinity. An especially good place to view many species is out at the overlook along Route 95, west of Marion in Big Island. I recently read that back in the early 1880s, 250 species of birds were recorded as being sighted in Marion County. Since birding is not my specialty, I cannot speak to how much that has changed, but I do know that I love to stop by the overlook in spring and watch the tree swallows zigzagging around, diving for flying insects and performing their mating flights above the numerous birdhouses set in the field surrounding the overlook. They always remind me of the space battles among the X-Wing fighters in Star Wars. Well, this is Carol Kelly, hoping for clear skies on April 8th. And whenever we get an occasional warm, sunny respite from Ohio's typical March into April rain squalls, snow flurries, and windy days, go out with your eyes and ears wide open, as there is so much to delight the heart and soul every spring here in the green outdoors.
And there's your show for the week. In the Green Outdoors is a production of WZMO Radio. The show airs Saturdays and Mondays right after the second cup at about 9:30 a.m. If you have a question or comment for Carol or Gail, you can email it to WZMO@roadrunner.com. Thank you for listening.